Okay, up to Daf Tes. We're up to where the Gemara says Vekasha. Matam Rav Shimon ben Lakish. What's the reason for Rav Shimon ben Lakish? Unfortunately, I was unable to look at this before I got here today. This is from memory now. I have to put it together again. Okay. He drives him from the Mishnah. Again, Rish Lakish holds. We're talking about Rish Lakish who holds. What are we talking about, Rish Lakish here? Rish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, they have an argument about whether it's from the Shas Akira, whether it's from Shas Hanocha. So Rish Lakish holds Yochanan from the time of Akira. So, my time with Rav Shimon ben Lakish, why does he hold? What's the source? He learns it from the Mishnah. Mikim Rishay to Mitach Yada Zari Chayef. As soon as he takes it out of his hand, that he's Chayef, because it says, right? What's the line from the Mishnah? Hazareya, right? What's the language? The language was Hazareya Chitu Sura Kachas, right? That was the question we had on Rav Yochanan. So now we're using the same question that we asked in Rav Yochanan as a prior to Rish Lakish. Fatninon, but it says also in the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda Omer Eino Klayim. So how does Rish Lakish explain Rav Yehuda Shita? Lachaira, as soon as it comes out of his hand. In other words, what's going on here with Rav Yehuda? Pasalah Adshar Shetanuach. So the Gemara tries to say that maybe this Gufa is the Machlokas of Yehuda and the Tanakama. Rav Yehuda holds it's a Din Hanacha. And the Tanakama will hold us a din on Akira, so he's going to learn that you're right. I can explain Rabbi Yehuda according to my sheet, right? For Tani Rabbi Yehuda mater, the Gemara says that doesn't seem reasonable, because if he's mater it completely, lo afilo noch Rabbi Yehuda mater. Doesn't it tell us that he permits a mixture of seeds even after it comes to rest on the ground? Means that even two seeds planted next to each other does not make klayim, because otherwise he wouldn't allow it. So, in footnote 10, I have a little underlined here. It says like this: if Rabbi Yehuda held two seeds planted next to each other within 6 tefach from our usher al klayim, he wouldn't have allowed you to release them from your hand, because he should have been worried they might land together on the ground. So the fact that he'll is maturate, right? He's matur two seeds. So that shows he's totally not worried about it. And it's never climb, even if it lands on the ground.
So he's only concerned about three seeds.
In fact, it is known why Rabbi Yehuda holds the two seeds never constitute climb. We mentioned it already. However, throughout the sugya, we've assumed that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakama on two counts. We mentioned this yesterday, the two counts, right? A was the distance, and B was the seeds. Okay? So he was, in effect, saying to the Tanakama, I maintain the climb requires a minimum of three seeds. And even if I were to accept your shita, the two seeds is, it would still be no problem, because it's not a problem. There's no climb, even if it lands on the same spot. I guess, Lamaise said he holds one tefach is climb, so he's not even worried that it's going to land within a tefach. I'm not exactly sure. Yeah. Okay.
But the tefach has to be, according to me, has to have three seeds anyway. No?
He always holds you have to hold three seeds. The Gemara's having a little difficulty with that. Remember, there's two machlokas. We're going on the you're right, that's machlokas number two. But as far as machlokas number one is concerned, in terms of distance, so he doesn't understand why Rish Lakish. The Gemara seems to feel that according to Rish Lakish, it doesn't make sense. How could he hold that it's a din and hanocha, and at the same time hold that it's completely mutter, there's nothing to be worried about at all? That seems to be the problem. It's not so clear. Amar b'hila, Rav Shimon ben Lakish b'date. Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish b'shem chizkiya, reish tor haba michor baz mutter. So this is a case, the Gemara is going to be later on page, let's see, it says here, 17a. Yeah, if you want to take a look, there's a very helpful picture over there. So if you want, don't mind, Rabbi Yisai, turn to 17a. Show you the picture. Yeah, so it says in the Mishnah, Halacha 5, so it says, Hayirosh Torchita Menesach L'Tarshal Sairim. So if you have one field is planted with barley, and another field is planted with wheat, so normally you have to have a separation between the two fields, let's say six tefachim, whatever it is. I don't know what this year is. It's at least six tefachim. So in this case, you're allowed to plant up until the edge. Why? Because it's nearer Kishtei Sodas. Since he calls it a Rosh Torah, it's like the head of the head of an ox. It comes to a point, right? The horn, the head of the ox. So the wheat in the picture is pointing with a triangle.
The point is that it's nicker.
It's nicker, exactly, that it's separate. So that's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah is not an issue. But then the Gemara says, right afterwards, if you take a look, the next page on 17a2, the Gemara says, the Rish Lakish Rishem Chizkiya said, Rosh Tor HaBa Michur Ba Mutter. Now that means like this. This, the Mishnah, when it says that it's Mutter, the Mishnah is talking about you planted it that way. You planted the wheat in the shape of a triangle. But what if it's a Churba? That means that you had two fields which were planted right next to each other, Shelo Kedin. And then the field got wiped out, like by a flood or something, and all that was left was the Rosh Tor formation. So it's like Shultz Mutter. No problem. Because since it's Nicker, so it's no problem. Rabbi Yechonon disagrees with him. He says, no. The Rosh Tor is only if you planted it that way, Lechachila. But if Mitchila, it was in a formation of parallel planting, you can't subsequently be Materit just because it ended up having a Horba like that. So that's the machlokes over there. So the Gemara wants to say like this. The Gemara is trying to suggest here. It's kind of funny, but he wants to say that Rabbi Yehuda's heter of sowing two seeds together is because that becomes a Rosh Tor formation. So I'm going to have normally, I mean, you think of a triangle as
meant. Two only and nothing else.
Right. So the two seeds land. So imagine those two seeds will be the head.
Tip of the point.
Will be the tip of the point. Exactly. And then you have an imaginary field that doesn't exist behind it. But those will be like two points. That's the tipping point. Right. So, and he has in the picture, right? On 9b1, you can see that even three seeds can make a Rosh Tor formation. Two seeds of wheat, one of barley, form a line running from east to west with the wheat at two ends, the barley in the middle. So the wheat at the end of the east could be that corner and so on. So, okay. So, that's really what the Gemara is going to end next. So far we were talking about two seats. The Gemara is now going to ask a question on 9b. So, if that's the case, you could have a Rosh Tor formation even with three seats. Why would Rabbi Yehuda hold its also then if he holds it? This is coming with the Rosh Tor heter, so then why wasn't three seats also mutter? As is according to the picture. Chain he? Is that indeed so? It's bit me up. Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you have three seeds, it's aser. We know from the Mishnah that three grains are aser. So how can, why? Obviously, he doesn't hold it. It's not a Rosh Tor. Evidently, as it says, he does not view each as a Rosh Tor formation.
Rosh Tor in that case is not
Mutter, or what? Obviously, Yehuda holds three seeds are also are an Isser Kalayim, so he must not hold it. It's a Tor. Because if it was a Tor formation, why would it be Isser? you have this formation here. Let the three seeds fall. Two of them will be one Torah. You know, one will be a Torah on the east, one will be a Torah on the west, and one will be a Torah on the north. And we're done. And there's no problem. Right? Does that make sense? I mean, it takes a little imagination to see a single seed as a Rosh Torah, but I guess you have to imagine that there was
it doesn't make sense.
The truth is, it doesn't really make a lot of sense, because the idea behind the Rosh Torah is that all of the growth give it a look as if it's a separate field. Here, there's nothing behind it. But somehow the Gemara feels it's okay to make it up. Okay, that seems to be the question.
Only because we need an explanation of why throwing it down doesn't make a difference.
According to, we're trying to explain, right? According to Rish Lakish, who holds Akira is an Isser. So why is Rabbi Huda going to say that it's mutter if it's two seats, and why does it say it's also if it's three seats? We're trying to figure that out. Yeah? Yeah. So the Gemara answers, there is a case where it is obviously not a Rosh Torah formation, and that is if you have a wall or a gather, a fence, parallel to both sides of the planting. So now, basically, what I've done with two fences parallel, so the seeds are in the middle, and I got two fences on the outside. What I've done is I've cut off the triangle. There's no triangle. You can't imagine a triangle if there's no imaginary triangle here because it's a fence there.
Why can't you make a very thin triangle?
Yeah, it could be very thin. You could make it very thin. I mean, you have a vivid imagination. That far, he didn't want to go. That's the one. So, I'm pasal law. Chita mikan. Gather mikan. Usora chavusha ma'amsan. The grain of barley is enclosed in the center. So, in this case, it's completely enclosed. It cannot be perceived as a Rosh Torah formation.
You're using your imagination anyway. You got three seeds. You're not doing a triangle. So, why do you have to limit yourself to a... Why can't you just do a little triangle?
Yeah.
Using your imagination anyway.
Yeah, well, you will notice. Yeah, not really. Yeah. A little triangle.
Have some sort of minimum size.
Yeah, the tor is indeed in your imagination has to be a field, right? Mm-hmm. But if it's not even in your imagination. In other words, if it's so small, it's not good enough, apparently. Yeah, that's where there's no unplanted open area at one side of the seeds. It means they're flanked on both sides by fences. If there's no fence on one side of the seeds, mutter, then it could be viewed as a Rosh Torah. Okay, so all you
take
need.
Take one of the fences
away. Yeah, take one of the fences away. Right. Let's imagine the fence on the bottom is the south. I'll call it the south fence. So if the south fence is removed, then we're going to look at the barley grain as a Rosh Torah, and you've got a heter. That's what it says here. Okay, Hadron Allah Chachitim. Now we're going to begin another parak, the second parak of Klayim, Joey, a new parak. Exciting, isn't it? I know you can. Here we go. So here we're going to begin. We're going to discuss a very simple idea here, which is when I have a mixture of seeds, I'm not supposed to plant them, right? So what's the share for this? You mean to tell me if I buy a bushel of wheat seeds and there's one kernel of barley that got mixed in there, I can't plant my wheat seeds because it's climb? What's the shear? Where do you start? Where do you stop? That's the first mission over here. So now, one thing to know about is a saw. A saw is made of six carbon. Accountant.
Accountant. Well, you said 124.
One second.
As long as it's 124.
One second.
What are you going for?
Six carbon to a saw. Now, there are 4/4 to each one. 4/4 make one, right? So take 4/4. We want to convert 6 carbon into 20/4. So take 4 fourths times 6, you get 24 fourths. That's equals 6. Those of you who know higher math. Remember those days? Okay, 24 fourths is 6. Now, if you have one of those 24 fourths, or in other words, you have 23 fourths of wheat seeds, and you have 1/24 of barley seeds, and that is the mixture, you might, since what the Mishnah says, if you have a saw which has a quarter of a kav in the mixture, which is 1/24 of the whole mixture, you might, so then he has to reduce that. So in other words, you'll have to go in there with your teaspoon and start pulling out the seeds that are barley, so that you'll end up with less than 1/24 of a mixture.
Or
I guess you can be marble also. But the Mishnah says you might. Okay, the Mishnah says you might. So I'm just translating the Mishnah. I don't think there's a difference, personally. I don't think
he
so.
He says footnote 3. He says that.
He says that too?
He says you can add.
Where does he say that? There he goes. This can be achieved either by removing or adding. That's right. Rambam commentary. So, although there is some foreign seed present, we know what that's like, having foreign seed present, but it doesn't matter. It's less than 1/24, and it becomes nullified in the predominant species.
You can do it intentionally.
That is correct. You can do it. You can do it intentionally, but let me put the caveat on this. You can do it intentionally. You can do it intentionally as long as the original mixture was not done intentionally. Right. I'm talking about it happened. It happened. Right. Or the guy that sold it to you, and then you look, you opened it up, and you say, "What's going on over here?" So then, you know, it's a surprise. So you can go ahead and fix it.
In a saw.
A seesaw?
Yeah, basically. Yes. When we say 1/24, are there 1,000 seeds in a saw?
If you were a potential employee for Google, in the interview process, there's a book about it. They would ask questions like, if you had a school bus and you were filling it with bowling balls, how many bowling balls would fit in the school bus? And they would use this to see how you would work it out. You know, there's no right answer, but they want to see how you think, right? So that's basically, I feel like I'm on an interview with Google. And how many seeds are there in a saw? How am I supposed to know?
That's 1/24 of a saw. Is it an infinite amount of seeds, or is it a small amount? 1/24 of a...
Is this important? Why is this important? Let's say there's 2,403 seeds in 24. I mean, what am I supposed to tell you?
But how do you measure it? How do you know?
Isn't volume? Isn't
it's volume.
Is it volume or weight?
It's a volume. Well, I mean, I guess it doesn't make a difference.
Really matter.
You're right. I mean, a pound of cornflakes is the same thing. Right? It doesn't really make a difference, right? Let me put it this way. You're raising, I'm assuming this is like Rav Einstein likes to say, you mean to ask that Lamaisa, the size of these seeds will vary, and therefore a barley seed won't be exactly the same size as a wheat seed, so therefore how are you going to make it so it's 1/24? But the Yerushalmi feels that because the size of the seeds, I'm getting ahead of myself, but the Yerushalmi holds that the size of the seeds is insignificant. In other words, it's a little bit small, a little bit larger, doesn't matter. We don't care about that. It's 1/24. There is a kind of seed, which the Gemara is going to call later on, Zarone Gino, which is a very, very tiny seed. It's a 3-to-1 ratio. And that there we will get into a different type of thinking. But for now, it's just whatever the volume is.
1/24.
It's 1/24 of it. Okay?
So a farmer walks into his field and says, there's clay in here. How does he determine if there's, I mean, he's got...
No. I'm not talking about planting.
No, it's here. He walks in and
he's got a box of seeds.
No. He's telling you, you find it growing?
Well, that's what this is.
No.
Seeds in a box.
This is seeds. We haven't planted anything yet. I went to the store and I bought seeds. and it turned, they got mixed up, and right? It just happened.
So that's, so you have a bucket.
I have a bucket.
You have to count every seed.
You'll have to, yeah, you'll have to know what the amount is. That's true. Now, that is actually one of the questions that they asked on the bottom. How is it shy? If we're talking about bittul over here, bittul is always, you don't know which piece, you know, what's treif and what's kosher. It's batel barov. But if it's absolutely obvious which piece is treif, then there's no bittul, right? It could be one in a thousand. You could see it. It's treif. Take it out of there, right? So the problem that the Rishonim asked this problem, what's shayach bittul over here? A barley doesn't look like a wheat seed. It's obvious. You could see the barley. So why isn't it helping? Because you might. You might means I take out the barley seeds out of the mixture. It's obvious which ones they are, right? So why is it shayach bittul? That's what this big note on the bottom is talking about over here. Show you where it's the third paragraph down in three. Some question the appropriateness of applying the law of nullification. Mechanism nullification is rather only where the permitted component and the forbidden one are indistinguishable from each other. In our case, it's distinguishable. So why does it work?
It must be something different about climate than trade.
Now there's an additional problem. The Gemara Nida says if I sit on a saddle, right, and it's, there's some shotness wools on the saddle, so we're afraid, right, that a string of wool will get mixed up in the linen, something like that. So the problem is, right, although the single woolen thread is far outnumbered by the linen threads, it's not nullified. The reason for this is that nullification applies only in a case of a mixture of a forbidden object with permissible ones. But shatnez is the mixture, the idea that you're making a mixture is what the iser is, right? Bittul is if you start off with something kosher and something treif, so you can be mevatel the treif and the kosher. But if the iser is the mixing of the two together, where is it? How's it shayach bittul? That's the problem. In the case of shatnez, the linen and the wool are intrinsically permissible. They're forbidden only due to their becoming mixed. In this case, the two species don't nullify each other, but rather combine to create an iser. So regarding Klal Yisroel as well, how can one species nullify the other? The whole iser was the combination. This is a very lumdish question over here. So the Rashba concludes. Let's look at the answer. It's a very Yisodistic thing. That's why we're spending some time on it. The Rashba concludes, the Torah made a special allowance to disregard a mixture of foreign seed when sowing one's field because it's virtually impossible to be vigilant to make sure that no foreign seed is mixed among the seeds. It's like the Torah was not given to Malachim, famous rule, right? Torah is given to people. So we have our man's got to know his limitations. Remember that? Clint Eastwood law. Consequently, the biblical prohibition of planting two mixed species applies only when one intentionally mixes the two together. That's where you don't have a heter of bittul.
Right, so even one would be.
See, even one would, exactly, even one, to put one barley seed intentionally into a mixture is an iser. That's not allowed. That's a beautiful thing here, this Rashba.
Even though it's not planted.
Yeah, we're not talking about grafting there.
Right.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Just Gilad in the big sack called mixtures.
Yeah, so that's the Tanakhama. So let's get back to the Tanakhama. Let's just get back to the Pashtuf now. Let's get through the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Kol Sosheish Baroi Vazerami Min Acher, you might. You have 1/24, you have to reduce it. So this becomes less than 1/24. If Yaisi Yama Yover, if Yaisi Holtz, no. You have to, once you're in the selection process and you're pulling it out, you have to pull it all out. He doesn't hold. You can just, the Tanakhama holds, you just pull it down till it's less than 1/24. And but Rashi says, no, once you're starting to pull it out, Yavar, you got to take it all out. Whether it's 2 minim or 1 minim. Meaning, what this means is like this. It means.
Whether they're three or two.
What?
Whether they're three or two.
Right, right. So what it means that the mix, the min echad, let's say it's barley. Let's say wheat and barley, for example, wheat and barley. So whether it's one min, that there's one min of barley in there, or even if it's barley and spelt. So the barley and spelt will combine to be mitzaref to make the 1/24. So if I've got wheat together with barley and spelt, the barley and spelt will combine, even though it could be that spelt is not kliyim with wheat. This is a case of heter mitzaref le'isser. It's mitzaref it, anyway.
It's a
finish, yeah. So it doesn't make a difference. Rav Shimon Omer lo yamru ela min echad. Rav Shimon doesn't hold from heter mitzaref le'isser. Famous sheet of Rav Shimon, and therefore he holds it has to be only be one min. That's kliyim with the
other. It has to be one min. That's more than 1/24.
Right, one min, which is a 1/24 or more. Right. Chacham Omer koshul kliyim. The saw mitzaref loreva. Whatever is kliyim in the saw is mitzaref. So the chacham sound exactly like the Tanakama, right? Ma bein Tanakama lechachamim. Anybody know the difference? You see the question? What's the difference between the Chachamim and the Tanakama? They're both saying the same thing, right? Chachamim say anything which is Kliyim is Mitztarif to the Raiva, meaning even if you have multiple meaning. Tanakama said the same thing. What's the difference?
Would they be Kliyim to each other?
So, let's see. What's the reason again? Let's see what it says in English. Mara Fulda explains it in the English. It says, the sages differ with the Tanakhama in a case such as the following. The majority of the component of the saw is barley. This becomes mixed with oats and spelt. Together they comprise a rova. Spelt and barley are kliyim together. Oats and barley are not kliyim. Okay, let's follow it again. Majority is barley. Okay, so we got the 23 rovas are sa'irim. It becomes mixed with oats and spelt. Spelt and barley are kliyim. Oats and barley are not kliyim. This is what I told you before. Accordingly, the sages maintain that the oats are disregarded, leaving only the spelt as the foreign seed. Since the spelt alone is less than a rova, the mixture will be planted. Okay. But the Tanakhama disputes this. He rules that although oats are not kliyim, they combine with the spelt to make up the critical mass. So in other words, the Tanakhama holds heter mitzaref le'isser, like I told you before. That as long as there's two minim, even though it's not kliyim, one of the minim, it'll be mitzaref with the one that is, and it'll create an isser. But the Chachamim hold, no, that won't be mitzaref. They don't hold from this thing, heter mitzaref le'isser. Is that correct? Am I saying it right? Do you want to double check me here? Let's look at it in Hebrew. Chacham by Marafolda, bottom two lines. Iga ben Tanakam v'chacham k'densa sa'irim. Yesh ba'roiva shibayla shu'al v'kosman. V'tanakam atzarech l'mayit. V'chacham en tzarech l'mayit. She'en ha'shibayla shu'al klayim l'sa'irim shemasa. That's exactly what he says. Same thing. So I what I said to you before about Rav Shimon is not 100% correct. So it's not the pshat Rav Shimon holds you don't say heter mitzaref le'isser, because that's what the Tanakhama and the Chacham are arguing about. He holds that there has to be one min. He holds even two yisurim are not mitzaref, even if they're both kliyim. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Even if you had two minim which were kliyim with the master mixture. Right, the A and B, A and C, that you still wouldn't say it's Kliyim. Because it doesn't come up to the Shir. L'chayra, that's the problem, I'm not sure. Okay, we'll leave it for that. We'll leave it there. And
keep on going,
though. Keep on going, the rest of the Mishnah?
Sure. We have to do another blah tonight. We have to do two blah tonight, two blah tomorrow night.
Dov is very, very optimistic that we'll be able to do a lot of this stuff.
Well, we do, with the Shabbos, we do a lot.
Yeah, but we learn for an hour.
Okay, so.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Tzvi, are you there? Tzvi, I think we're going to continue going. Okay?
Yep, I'm here.
You're here. Okay, good. So we're on Daf Yud. Let me just hold the recording for a second.